Blog Talk Radio.
Again. All right, it's November 10th, 2010, 2100 p.m., United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun, and I'm back. We're talking about it, we're going to do it the right way, we're going to talk about it the right way, it's going to be the right way, all night long. So, well, at least for the next hour. So let's talk about, let's get right down to it. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. The first thing we want to talk about right now is, that we're going to get to our first topic, and that is yesterday's MSNBC host calling for a revolution or real change, perhaps through violence. Yeah, in arguably the most radical book published in decades, cartoonist and columnist Ted Rall has produced the book. Some say he was always meant to write. It's a new manifesto for an America headed toward economic and political collapse. While others mourn the damage to the postmodern American capitalist system created by the most recent global economic collapse, Rall sees an opportunity. As millions of people lose their jobs and their homes, they and millions more are opening their minds to the possibility of creating a radically different form of government and economic infrastructure. But as we know, they're dangerous. Yeah. As in Russia in 1991, criminals and right-wing extremists are best prepared to fill the power vacuum from a collapsing United States. According to some, the best way to stop them, according to Rail, is not collapse, but revolution. Not by other people, but by us. And by us, he means the radical left. He has stated so. And not in the future, but now, while it's still possible, he says. So, is this what we've come to in the year of, in the 2 years since Obama has been swept into office? Is this hope and change? Is this what he meant by fundamentally transforming the United States of America, as he said? Are things in our country so bad that it might actually be time for revolution? The host, Dallin Radigan, asked that question yesterday of the author, Mr. Rail. And the author said, yes, obviously yes. His only question is how to do it. So is this what America has come to? Radical left-wing extremists who want to fundamentally transform the United States of America and to cause its collapse and to rebuild the country almost an apocalyptic revolution. Well, so that's what we want to talk about tonight. We want to find out if any of you out there agree with the idea of a revolution to overthrow the government. This is what Mr. Rail is calling for. Ted Rail. He's a cartoonist and columnist. I'm not sure he's a communist. That's a Freudian slip. Communist. He's a columnist who wrote a book about it. So that's one of the things we want to talk about. And the other is, of course, I haven't been on the air since the dramatic historic political events of November 2nd, when America spoke loud, spoke clear, spoke emphatically that we have no interest whatsoever in what Obama calls hope and change, that we would like for Mr. Obama to change course and move a little bit further to the move into the center, move away from the step out of the dark and into the light. We want some transparency. We want some budget dealings going on. We want to rail in spending, you know, all of that stuff. And quite frankly, we're not getting any of that. And so we'll see how things go with the new Congress, the first of the year. And once the new Congress takes over, we'll see how that goes. But there's a new article out in Politico about President Obama being isolated ahead of the 2012 political events, the presidential election, the Senate and the House elections. Some say that President Obama has performed his act of contrition, and now comes the hard part. According to some Democrats around the country, reckoning with the simple fact that he's isolated himself from virtually every group that matters in America, this is what the Politico says. Congressional Democrats consider him distant and blame him for their historic defeat on Tuesday of last week. Democrats state party leaders scoff at what they see as an inattentive and hapless political operation. Democrat lobbyists feel maligned by his holier-than-thou take on their profession. His own cabinet, with only a few exceptions, has been marginalized. Why? Because Obama's setting himself up as king. King Obama. He believes he can do it all by himself. He believes that he has been ordained by someone to bring America out of its malaise, if you will. Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about this whole thing with this armed insurrection where Mr. Rao doesn't state that he wants an armed insurrection. He does state that he believes that as a last resort, his means of overthrowing the government and restructuring America could possibly result in violence. There could be some violence with that. And you know what else? You know what? How this all ties into my next topic? Well, it ties in real well. Let's talk about Mr. George Soros. Let's talk about Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck's show this past week has been both frightening and enlightening. Wow. He talks about the puppet master, George Soros, and how George Soros is operating. He's a billionaire. He is a Hungarian billionaire who has a history of wreaking havoc on four other countries on three continents and attempting to cause their monetary collapse so that he could bring about what he considers to be social justice. He is the architect of what he would like to see as a one-world government. He wants America to be an open society. He is quoted as saying, "I became concerned with the problems of globalization. They have global markets, but you have politics based on the sovereignty states. So how do you deal with that issue?" And then he says, "I came to the realization that open society is in danger by our current leadership in this country." He means the United States. And that is when we focused my attention on the United States. So he says he wants an open market. He says that the biggest obstacle toward justice is peace. The biggest obstacle toward justice is America. This is George Soros, the billionaire who has wreaked havoc on four other countries, who broke the Bank of England and nearly caused its collapse monetarily. The obstacle to justice and peace in the world, in his view, is the United States of America. I urge you to watch Glenn Beck's show. There's only two episodes left for this week, but he'll talk more about the puppet master George Soros and what he wants to do with the United States, the monetary system, how he's seeking to overthrow the United States government and cause its monetary collapse. It's really scary stuff. When you think about it, it sounds so conspiratorial, like a conspiracy theory, like something some nut, some right wing or left wing nut might espouse, and you just say, I'm not going to pay attention to that. This guy's crazy. But this comes from George Soros himself. So is he crazy? Well, he was asked on 60 Minutes in 1998 whether or not he was religious. He said no. He was asked if he believed in God. He said no. And then one of his through a voiceover said Soros told us he believes God was created by man, not the other way around, which may be why he thinks he can smooth out the world's imperfections. So George Soros has taken it upon himself to use his wealth, his vast wealth, to bring about justice as he sees fit for the rest of the world. He says, "If truth be known, I carried some rather potent messianic fantasies with me from childhood, which I felt I had to control. Otherwise, I might end up in the loony bin. But when I made my way in the world, I wanted to indulge myself in my fantasies to the extent that I could afford." And he's talking about overthrowing the governments of the world that he believes are unjust and reshaping them in a just way, in a way that he sees fit. Interesting. According to his friend, Byron Wien, now with the Blackstone Group, "You must understand, he thinks he's been anointed by God to solve insoluble problems. The proof is that he has been so successful at making so much, he therefore thinks he has a responsibility to give money away." Well, wait a minute now. If he believes that he was anointed by God Well, he stated in a 60 Minute interview in 1998 that he doesn't believe in God. So who's right? Does he believe in God? Doesn't he? Does it matter? No, it really doesn't. What does matter is that George Soros has worked his way into the United States system like a tick, and particularly into the Obama administration, because he's visited the White House and President Obama four times since Obama has been in office the 2 years, which is really kind of scary for me, considering that Soros has openly admitted to seeking and working diligently to collapse our current government and cause economic chaos in the United States so that it can be rebuilt into a free society, end quote. So for months, my man Glenn Beck has been pulling back the structure progressives have worked decades to put in place. Watch. I mean, I've been riveted all week long. I DVR'd every episode. I've watched every episode. It is fascinating. Whatever you think about Glenn Beck, and I think quite highly of him myself, whatever you think about Glenn Beck, put it aside. Simply watch. And you know what? Follow his advice when he says, don't believe what I say. Do your homework. It's out there. You know what I love about the Glenn Beck Show more than anything is that the majority of what Glenn Beck exposes, the majority of the information that Glenn Beck puts out there for the masses comes from the actual sources themselves. They're not secondhand sources. They're not people who some nut job off the street. These are the actual people who are talking. For example, George Soros, what we hear from him are his own words about how he is openly seeking to collapse the United States government's monetary system, how he wants there to be no borders worldwide, no countries, no governments, with one person in power controlling everything. And that sounds apocalyptic. But this all comes from Soros himself. These are not the words of cronies, dissidents, folks who have an axe to grind. These are words coming from George Soros himself. And then what is so scary about all of this is that he is actually working behind the scenes to put these measures in place. And I find the whole thing frightening. I'm amazed that Glenn Beck is actually still on the air, given what he has exposed with George, as he calls him. So Glenn recommends us to his listeners, his viewers, because he has a radio show and also he does Fox at 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. And then his shows are recapped on the weekends. Read, analyze, do your own homework, and come to your own conclusions. I tell you what, it's frightening. George Soros is quoted again as saying, it's sort of a disease when you consider yourself some kind of God, the creator of everything. But I feel comfortable about it now since I began to live it out. And he said this in 1993 in a news article called The Independent. He also goes on to state, I admit that I have always harbored an exaggerated view of self-importance. To put it bluntly, I fancied myself as some kind of God or an economic reformer, or even better, a scientist like Einstein. This is what he says. This is an excerpt from a book he wrote called The Alchemy of Finance, George Soros. According to friend Byron Weiss, he considers himself to be a god, and he wants to take over the United States of America. And here's an example of what he did to break the Bank of England and cause chaos the world over. George Soros's confidence that Britain would pull out the pound out of an ER out of the fire was growing. It had been Stanley Druckenmiller who had thought the time ripe for making a bet against the sterling. I don't know what that is, and I don't know who Mr. Druckenmiller is either. He talked to Soros about doing something. Soros gave him the green light, but urged him to head trader. Urged his head trader to bet an even larger sum than Druckenmiller had in mind. And so Druckenmiller acted for Soros, sold $10 billion worth of sterling. The next morning at 7 a.m., the phone rang at Soros' home. It was Stan Druckenmiller with news. While George Soros had slept, he raked a profit of $950 million. When Soros' gains from other positions he took during the ERM crisis were tallied, he raked up close to $2 billion. It was this bet, the single act of placing $10 billion on the fact that Britain would have to devalue the pound, that made George Soros world famous. And have we not pumped $600 million into our monetary system, thus devaluing our own currency? And is it not true that the world governments are outraged by our act? Are we playing in the George Soros' hands right now? George Soros says, I had no platform, so I deliberately did the sterling thing to create a platform. Obviously, people care about the man who made a lot of money. My influence has continued to grow, and I do have access. Huh. Wow. During the Asian financial crisis, the then Malaysian Prime Minister, Mahathir bin Mohamad, accused him of bringing down the Malaysian currency. The rigid thought, his trading activities in Thailand, he was branded an economic war criminal who sucks the blood from people. Yeah, he is kind of scary. I don't know if you've ever seen the guy, but he kind of looks like Dracula. And he talks like him, too.
I am seeking to bring down the United States government.
He sounds like an evil Henry Kissinger. He really does. It's very scary. So while we're talking about George Soros, we're also talking about this left-wing idea of armed insurrection, revolution, bringing down the government, remaking the government, which also ties into Barack Obama's idea of social justice and fundamentally transforming the United States of America. And wow, what a mess. I don't know about you. I didn't vote for this hope and change. This is not the hope and change I voted for. And you know what? I'm kind of thinking right now, those signs, those George Bush signs that says, "Do you miss me yet?" Yeah, George, I kind of miss you. Yeah, I do. You know, I voted for George Bush, but I didn't agree with a lot of the things that went on during his presidency, that he was, a lot of his philosophies, just mystified me. Some of the things that he did were just didn't really make a lot of sense. But right now, I'm really missing him. I'm really missing him. Because it seems to me that since Barack Obama has become president, people are now, organizations, people, they're not coming out of the woodwork. They're coming out of the shadows And they're talking about armed insurrection. They're talking about overthrowing the government. Socialist, Marxist, communist. I believe that they believe that their time has come with Barack Obama as president, that it's safe. It's safe to come out of hiding. It's safe to come out of the shadows because Barack Obama has been put in place, they believe, to help bring about the fundamental transformation of our country. When you think about Obama's stance on with business, the Chamber of Commerce, and how he vilifies the quote, fat cat bankers, end quote. All the things that he wants to do are so counter America, what we're all about, what we stand for. It's really scary. When George Bush was president, did we have people like Van Jones speaking out about overthrowing the government, or he, using code words like creating a green economy, about redistributing wealth? Did we talk about this sort of thing? Because I mean, if we did, where was I doing all this? So Barack Obama becomes president, and now it's like you turn the light on. The light's been turned on, and now like cockroaches. Folks are coming out of the woodwork saying we want to overthrow the government, that we don't like the way it's going. We don't like this government. Have you noticed that atheists have stepped up their anti-Christian, anti-God rhetoric? When George Bush was president, would anyone dare deface a cross? How many times has a cross been defaced or a lawsuit been brought because a person places a cross in a public place? How many times during George Bush's administration did anyone anti-religious groups come out and openly mock God and religion? Barack Obama himself openly mocks religion. George, you've been in the news, George Bush, President Bush. You've been in the news this last week, my man. Wow. You know, for all of the mistakes that you've made, and there were a few, I miss you, man. I miss my president. Barack Obama came into office. How ironic. He came into office. Hope and change. That America would once again be America, that there would be no red states, there would be no blue states. There would be only the United States. We're not so united, are we? When you have left-wing groups talk about armed insurrection, violence, overthrowing the government, you have folks on the right trying to secure the borders, talking about spending and trying to save what we have left. This wasn't supposed to be. Was this the way it was supposed to be? I mean, President Obama's relationship with business leaders can't be any worse. Now, Obama has said that his issues with the business community as a PR problem. But Democratic officials and CEOs friendly with the president walk away feeling he's indifferent at best to their concerns. Add in his icy relations with Republicans, the media, and most importantly, most voters, and it's easy to understand why his own staff leaked word to Politico that it wants President Obama to shake up his staff and change his political approach. But he won't. I know he won't. Barack Obama came in the office hell-bent on breaking this country down and rebuilding it the way that he sees fit. He has no interest in the free market system. He has no interest in business. He has no interest in America the way it has been from the time he has been on this planet. He believes that America is evil. He believes that America is wrong and unjust. And he's not going to change. You know, and I find it, for me, it's like it's a mixed bag. I have mixed feelings about it, because the more he behaves the way he has, and the more we learn about this man, the worse it's going to be for him. Because America is a center-right country. And America is finding out more and more about Barack Obama that there's just something wrong with this guy. And you know, I'm torn because, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame because it's a waste. He's a Democrat, he's a liberal, but he could be so much better than he is right now. He's not going to change. But you know, the groovy thing about this whole thing, if there is a silver lining, it's that history has shown that politicians like Mr. Obama don't last very long. Not here. Not here in the United States. They don't last very, very long. It should be a no-brainer for Obama to humble himself and move quickly after Tuesday's ass-whooping, to try to repair these damaged relations. And indeed, yes, in India on Sunday, he acknowledged the need for what he calls a mid-course correction. But from what I'm hearing, many Democrats privately say they're skeptical that Obama is self-aware enough to make the sort of dramatic changes they feel are needed. And in his relations with other Democrats, the feeling is pretty much the same. In Obama's efforts to change Washington, he's failed to engage. He's failed to engage Washington, its institutions and customs. And it's leaving him estranged from the Capitol's permanent power structure. It's a big mess. It's a big mess. His whole presidency is one big mess. And the sooner we send him packing back to Chicago, Indonesia, Hawaii, somewhere, the better. Because this has been a mess. From the day he walked into office and ordered that a bust of Winston Churchill be removed and returned to Great Britain, to the time he presented the Queen with an iPod as a gift, filled with his speeches, to the time just yesterday when he sucked up to China and anybody else within earshot, his presidency has been a complete and abject failure. For all his touted brilliance, President Obama is a moron. He seems to have absolutely no common sense at all. None, mind you. Where's the brilliance? Wasn't he supposed to be brilliant? Wasn't he supposed to be this phenomenal orator? Why is he using a teleprompter everywhere he goes? I have heard that Barack Obama uses a teleprompter in cabinet meetings with as few as 6 cabinet members in attendance. He uses a teleprompter. Now, is he just forgetful? Does he suffer from a mild form of Alzheimer's? Does he need some Jinkoba? I mean, what's up with the teleprompter in a cabinet meeting? It's embarrassing because it suggests to me that Mr. Obama is nothing more than an empty suit. He doesn't seem to have much going on upstairs. Or maybe he's got too much going on upstairs. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe he's thinking about so many different things that he doesn't have time to focus in on his important speeches. So he's really so busy doing other things and ruining the country and burning it down to the ground that he doesn't have time to actually read his own speeches, maybe write them. So he just has them thrown up on a teleprompter, and then he reads what he has to say, never actually looking at the people in the audience, because he has to look left and then right with his chin held high in the air, very sanctimonious, and then look left and then right again, and just kind of just an empty suit. Just an empty suit, and the words flow. I mean, like a ventriloquist dummy. That's what Obama is to me. A puppet. A ventriloquist dummy in a nice suit. Because when you don't take the time to memorize your own speech, you probably didn't write any other words, but you know, very few presidents do, in all fairness. Why can't you just, I mean, George Bush didn't use a teleprompter. George Bush was considered to be a dummy by most on the left. Not very bright at all. A C student in college. Didn't use a teleprompter. Spoke with either handwritten notes or just spoke with no notes at all. But Barack Obama, who is touted as being this brilliant orator, this brilliant man with 130 IQ. My dog has 130 IQ. I mean, that's not brilliant. But for some reason, his IQ was brought into play during a recent interview. He's supposed to be this brilliant guy, but he can't read a speech. He can't memorize a speech. And whenever he does, you know, I understand why he reads the teleprompter, because he's really not the smart guy that everybody thinks he is. He's like the movie The Wizard of Oz. where the great wise and powerful Oz speaks with a clear, booming voice, and all who hear him believe he is, well, wise and powerful. Until you pull back the curtain and there's this little man, this little old man who speaks with a very squeaky kind of grandfatherly voice, and he's not great and all-powerful. Well, that's Barack Obama to me. He's a puppet. And given the fact that George Soros is pulling his strings, George Soros is the puppet master. I tell you what, I just want to say, I wonder if any of you out there who may be listening to my show are as concerned as I am about what's happening in the country today. You know, there's something that gives me pause, that gives me solace, that allows me to sleep at night as I worry for my country. And that's the fact that Jimmy Carter was such an abominable president that we were blessed with Ronald Reagan with tax cuts, a booming economy, and the destruction of the Soviet Union. And that was a result of Jimmy Carter's horrid presidency. After 2 years of Bill Clinton and a Democrat Congress, we received the first Republican Congress in half a century, followed by tax cuts, welfare reform, and a booming economy. All of which Clinton now claims credit for, by the way. So Obama's disastrous presidency has already produced Republican senators from Massachusetts, Wisconsin, and Illinois. And New Jersey's wonder governor, Chris Christie, and the largest House majority for Republicans since 1946. You hear me? 1946. So these facts, these events, give me hope that there will be change 2 years from now. But we deserve so much more, don't we? Don't we, America? Clinton only threatened to wreck the healthcare system. Obama actually did it. So there are those of us out there who think that we should actually take the opportunity and repeal the 26th Amendment, the amendment that was adopted in 1971 at the tail end of the worst generation anti-war protest. It was the argument for allowing children to vote. And once they were 18 years old, they could drink and be conscripted into the military, so they ought to be allowed to vote. But 18-year-olds aren't allowed to drink anymore. We no longer have a draft. In fact, while repealing the 26th Amendment, we ought to add a separate right to vote for members of the military, irrespective of age. As we have learned from Obamacare, young people are not considered adults until age 26. So if a child, if my child can stay on my insurance until they're 26, then are they really adults? Because why would I have an adult on my insurance policy? Adults are supposed to be able to make their own way. Well, needless to say, That's what Obamacare, one of the provisions in Obamacare. So, once they reach the age of 26, not 18, by the way, 26, they're finally forced to get off their parents' health care plans. Now, the old model was old enough to fight, old enough to vote. I guess the new motto is not old enough to buy your own health insurance, not old enough to vote. Something to think about. A lot of the ideas I got from that came from Ann Coulter and her article on repealing the 26th Amendment. Check it out. And I agree with that. It's a sad situation when you have a president who seems to be oblivious to the will of the majority of the of America. Because, you know, I don't want to say the American people. Like so many politicians, they say, well, the American people want this or the American people want that. No, it's still way too general for me. I prefer the majority of Americans because apparently that's the case. The majority of Americans spoke on November 2nd, and what an exciting night it was. Once again, it gave me hope that in 2 years we will have change in America, that once again it'll be morning in America. Yeah, morning in America 2 years from now. Now, the last thing I'd like to talk about is Fed pumping money into the economy, just printing money, and what that means for people like you and me. Financial experts are expressing disgust with the Federal Reserve's decision to print more money and buy more U.S. debt, saying it's a sign that the U.S. capitalist system is moving closer to collapse. Remember when the Fed said that they would not do this? That they would not print more money and buy up our own debt? Is anybody listening? Do you guys care? Does anybody care? You know, I talk to people about this stuff all the time, and they look at me. They look at me I'm greeted with blank stares.
Well, so, look what George Bush did. It's George Bush. We had 8 years of George.
No, come on. You got to be kidding me. Are you even listening? Is anybody listening? Do you not fully understand what's happening here? This is the kind of thing that signals the end, the collapse of our system. Does that scare anybody? Is this what we voted for? Is this the hope and the change that we voted for our system to collapse? So many of my friends blame what has happened these last 2 years on the presidency, the last 8 years on George Bush. But George Bush is no longer president. And the last I heard, it's Barack Obama who is thwarting the efforts of business leaders and business organizations and the Chamber of Commerce, who has taken over companies and corporations and businesses, who has reorganized our healthcare system to the extent that in a couple of years it'll be unrecognizable and ineffective. Instead of working to promote businesses, thus foster a reasonable amount of trust between the government and the business community, thereby fostering confidence, Barack Obama did just the opposite. What is this guy's true goal? What is the Fed's goal? All of this is going on, and where's the outrage? This is the type of stuff we accuse the communist and socialist governments of doing. Interfering in free markets through currency manipulation, that's what's happening. What the Fed is doing is not good for free market capitalism, and it's not good for America. Is anybody listening? Do you not know what this means? It's a signal. It's a sign that the end is near, and we need to stop. We need to stop. We need to change course. And it's not about giving Barack Obama enough time. Because I hear from some of my liberal friends that he's only been in office 2 years. Give him time. Are you kidding? He's been in office 2 years, and he's racked up more debt than all other U.S. presidents combined. Barack Obama, I'll say it one more time, has racked up more debt than all other U.S. presidents combined. That's not my opinion. That's an actual fact. Look it up. So when my liberal friends say we need to give him more time, he's only been in office 2 years. He's working to undo 8 years of mismanagement. What do you call racking up $4 trillion in debt in 2 years? Is that proper management? When you and I balance our budgets biweekly or at the end of the month, we have to have a certain amount of money coming in and a certain amount of money going out. And we, for the most part, need to watch how much we spend so that we can pay our bills on time. That's how most of us function. But the United States government and Barack Obama's administration don't feel that way. They just print more money. Well, we're running out of money, so let's just go print some. So now the Fed has printed up all this money, and it's basically devaluing the United States, the currency. And that has a ripple effect all around the world. The Fed is following the economic models of third world countries by printing more money and devaluing our currency. If you keep doing what third world economies do, eventually you will become a third world economy. Is anybody listening? Have most of you out there just heard that the Federal Reserve is printing more money and just said, oh, okay, I'm just going to my meeting, or I'm going to lunch. So what? I don't care. They could print more money for me. Oh, my God. This is a mess. And countries the world over are in upheaval, uproar, incredulous about this event. And this is what the Federal Reserve said that they would not do. They said that they would not do this, that they would not buy up our own debt, that they would not print more money to do so. And they stated, the Federal Reserve stated that this would be a signal of collapse. So what we have in this event of printing more than $600 million is the Fed signaling that our monetary system, that our capitalist system is about to collapse, and that the Fed is just going to go ahead and kick it off anyway and just go ahead and collapse the system. And this is what Barack Obama talked about, didn't he, when he said that he wanted to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Well, this is what some of you voted for. This is the hope and change you guys voted for. Gas prices skyrocketing. Food prices skyrocketing. People losing their homes. The job rate at 9.6%, gone up since Obama's tenure, not down. He said it would never go higher than 8% if we pumped nearly $1 trillion into the economy. It wouldn't go above 8%. That was his promise. Is this what we voted for? The hope and the change? Skyrocketing food prices, skyrocketing gas prices. Our capitalist system on the verge of collapse. Utter chaos. Left-wing groups talking about revolution and armed insurrection against the government. I thought, you know, I read that this guy was supposed to, you know, part the seas and the air would clear and the waters would recede and life would be beautiful and the whole world would love us and embrace us. And that all would be right with the world because we have our savior, Mr. Barack Obama, as our president, our deity. Barack Hussein Jesus Obama. Okay, but he's more like the Antichrist. You know, I hate to go there, but I'm going. I'm going there right now. Because it sounds to me like dude is not the savior that folks were hoping for. You know, when people were like fainting at his rallies. And he was like, there were portraits painted of him riding into D.C. on Pennsylvania Avenue on a donkey, wearing Jesus robes and even the thorny crown thing. This is what he was likened to Jesus Christ. Someone wrote just before inauguration that, hey, Jesus Christ was a community organizer too. So when we were likening this guy to Jesus Christ, Jesus himself, and we thought that he was going to bring about hope and change and not blue states, not red states, but the United States. When you voted for all of this, did you really think that 2 years later gas prices would skyrocket, food prices would skyrocket, the unemployment rate would soar through the roof, and that we would be on the verge of a monetary collapse, capitalist collapse? I want to know, is this what you voted for, America? Is this what you really wanted? Let's talk about it more tomorrow. Think about it. Barack Hussein Obama, our savior. I'll see you tomorrow, and let's hope for a better day. God bless you. In the South Philadelphia.